What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside the luxurious Danielle. Oh. Luxurious.
I mean, I'm not mad at that.
I mean, I have to say, you are in here and you just came from work and you are a heavy equipment operator. And
yes.
Those look like literally the most comfortable clothes you could ever wear to work.
Well, yes, I have to kick a lot of booty at work, so I have to be comfortable for that. But these work boots, these steel toe boots, man, I tell you what.
Those steel tube boots are made for walking.
And that's just what they'll do.
You know, I always take a while to get into our guest, but I'm so jacked about our guest today.
Me too.
Anna V of Anna V Outdoors. She's a world champion gun dog trainer.
Wait, she's a two-time.
Two-time champion gun dog trainer. She's part of the Fowl Life. I get to work with her. We get to go on hunts together. We've hunted in New York together. We've hunted in Wisconsin together. And we have an amazing time. And I'm so excited. I'd like to make her a recurring guest, Danielle. What do you think?
And I also feel like we should do that too. But I feel like we need to tell this story because this is an amazing accomplishment. She's a two-time world champion, two-time national champion, and a 2020 Ladies Player of the Year. Like,
yeah.
How, what?
She's a big deal.
What?
She's a big deal. There's no doubt about it. And the beauty of it is she's coming to Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm the pretty excited zone. And I have to say, Anna V, first of all, the turkeys are strutting.
Ooh.
Like crazy. I cannot go anywhere without diverting. Anywhere I go with my wife, and we're taking, we go on detours because I have to find the turkeys strutting in the fields.
Of course.
And I'm really, you know, Chad's coming to Wisconsin. The Fowl Life's coming to Wisconsin to shoot a turkey hunt in Zone 1 with Brad Heidel, who's been a guest, fantastic guy from Delta Waterfowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not coming. What's up with that?
It's killing me. So, you know what life's like when you have a kid that graduates college?
Oh. Yeah, yes, I do. Well, I mean, I'll have a kid graduate. I can't wait till she graduates college. Maybe I'll get a little break in my pocketbook.
Yeah, I know. That's what we're talking about, too. So, we had previous family plans already made during those dates. So,
well,
I can't get out of it, but.
Well, I know We're planning a goose trip for you guys out here in the fall. I'm trying to get the crew out for September. We have a relationship with Travel Wisconsin right now, the Department of Tourism, and it's going so fantastic. And one of the coolest things for me that could be like in my life, period, is being able to highlight the state of Wisconsin on a national television show. I mean, think about that. That's so cool.
Wisconsin's a great place to show off. I definitely believe that.
Oh, for sure. And Danielle, you got two turkey tags, and they're both for time period D.
For D. How ridiculous is that? I usually have B, which is the perfect for me. I think that's the perfect because the turkeys are more or less more aggressive, and I'm still trying to figure it out. So zone A or time period A, like they don't know what's going on yet. They have no idea.
They usually don't, but we had such a mild late winter here that they started strutting.
Did we even have a winter?
Well, they started.
Really?
I saw turkeys strutting
no,
in January,
and I paid the price for it.
You paid the price for it?
What do you mean? You paid the price for it?
Because we were up there trying to chase geese, and we were wearing t-shirts.
Oh,
yeah, right. No, yeah. Even the waterfowl patterns really knocked off. Kilter this time this year. It was very bizarre. But as always, it was great to have you up here. Anna V, I want to talk to you because you have really encompassed something this show talks about and focuses on, and that is women in the outdoors and the growing contingent of women. I mean, you know, Danielle is the co-host of the show, and she's absolutely avid, real outdoorsman, sportsman, and I think it's growing so fast. This is not new to you. Now, I don't want to, you know, you're a young woman still, but you have been doing this for a long time, and you've seen what it's like to grow and blossom, you know, the women's involvement in the outdoors, and particularly hunting, where it was not necessarily a traditional thing for women in Wisconsin, but you are kind of the quintessential example of that. How did you get started in you know, in hunting, in the water dog sports, in waterfowl, in upland? How did that start for you, and what was it like when you were trying to break in?
Well, I was raised in Georgia, and my family all hunts turkeys and deer, and let's see, I guess the last family hunt I did was 3 years ago. My grandmother at 83 took her last buck.
Aww.
And I have to give a massive shout out to SCI because I'm so far removed from sitting in a deer stand. And they put that entire hunt together, and it's mounted on her wall in her living room, and she's just the proudest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And so that's like super exciting to have been raised in that. And then I caught the horse bug. My oldest daughter caught the horse bug. So we traveled all over showing pleasure horses. And one of like my adopted uncles that I was just raised, was like close friend of the family, was always at my ball games, all those things, was a big time roper. And he got into short hairs. And I was like, oh, those dogs are so beautiful.
I love it. I love that one.
And then I waited like 5 years to get one because we were always at the barn, like 5-6 days a week. And he got out of roping and sold out to these dogs in tournament hunting. And I thought he had lost his mind. I'm like, if you get a dog, you just take it with you, right? Like, you don't give up your life. And I got suckered into getting one. Taterbug was like 9 months old, and I got my first short hair puppy.
Aww.
And then I was like, oh, I get it. So at 6 months, I was like, you need a job. I need some help. So I got a trainer. Mercy will be 10 this summer. I just posted all about her yesterday because she is such a special dog. And if I hadn't have gotten her and loved her so much and was just so into her drive, like she required me to pay attention. She required me to get her a job. And so the next thing I know, I was like, I give up horses. JC did horses and I did bird dogs. And as Tater grew up, like, she was carrying a BB gun in the field by the time she was 3.
Yeah, I was looking at through your social media, especially on your Instagram, and you have a video of how early is too early on there.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's a great topic. Let's talk about that.
And that was the cutest video. It's just like, for me, that I do not have a kid. I have a 5-year-old puppy, like, or dog.
Yes,
that's mine.
By the way, Danielle's puppy, Bandit, who we love, just had a birthday as well.
He did. We turned 5.
Yes. And I want to point out that Anastasia, when Bandit walked into the studio, Anastasia said, there's my favorite host. And she was not talking about
no,
me.
No, she's like, oh,
she's
Bandit.
Talking about the dog. And that's understandable. I think dogs are much more likable than I am.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Danielle.
Well, it's a dog. I'm going to choose a dog.
So but yeah, I want to talk about that topic, though.
Yeah, how early is too early? That's the cutest video. So it's a puppy, and I'm assuming that's Tater walking through the field with a little BB gun. And
yeah, so like that was the third dog that we had started, and she was probably about 4 there. Hmm. And I said, okay, here's an empty BB gun. When you learn gun safety and you're not pointing at people, I mean, like, she's so tiny, so it's really hard for her to not point a muzzle at somebody when she's that short, right? But we knew she was safe, and you have to learn somewhere. Like, you got to start.
So
I was like, here you go, kid. Like, when it's just us in the field, you're gonna have this responsibility. And then we just talk through it. When her gun would be pointed in the wrong direction, I'd be like, okay, check your muzzle, check your muzzle, check your muzzle. By the time that she was 5, she could give safety talks to anybody. It was like, you know, always have your muzzle pointed in a safe direction. Never have a finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot. And don't point your gun unless you know, like, what your target is, right?
Right.
So,
your target and what's beyond.
Tab K,
baby. Tab K. My daughter is actually going through her hunter safety right now.
Aw.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah? Yeah, Violet. She's mentored hunted with me for forever, and she took her hunter safety and then turned 18, so she has to retake it now because of the field day. It's kind of a mess in Wisconsin how you have to do it, but I'm very proud because every time somebody goes through that hunter safety, if they're around or near you, you can kind of go through it with them. Mm-hmm. One of the questions I have for you, though, is, you know, we took a lot of – can I say crap, Anastasia?
You can say crap. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We took a lot of crap in the legislature when we eliminated the age. You know, it used to be 12. You couldn't hunt until you were 12, and then we made it 10. And now we don't have an age. And I think that the good thing about that is, number one, those people who have been out hunting on mentored hunts and learned to hunt, there's a far smaller incidence of anything bad or violent happening in those hunts than in the general public who has their license and hunts. So it shows that those people who are giving extra attention to, you know, folks who are ready. And I think it's a parent's decision when that child is ready. But in your expertise, and I want to be clear, you're somebody who fits people with guns. You fit a lot of women with guns and the
with shotguns.
Yes. But the fit of a shotgun is something that is completely underestimated as an important aspect of hunting. And fitting somebody to the shotgun they're using makes all the difference in the world. You've had a lot of experience in this area. So what is your advice to parents and to kids as to when it is okay to start learning about that hunting? Or is it different in every scenario?
No. Oh my gosh, I don't remember the first time I went to hunt camp because I was an infant. Like, we had George spending Thanksgiving at hunt camp, right? And so me being in Georgia, you know, I am rooted in Wisconsin. Wisconsin feels like home away from home for me.
Oh yeah, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. How you are like a Wisconsinite with a southern accent.
I am like the most southern Wisconsinite to ever be.
That's right.
So, that's where I got sucked back into tournament hunting because my gosh, y'all have such cool clubs there that we don't have here in Georgia. But when I came up there, I'll never forget, learning that law during deer season because bird dogging shut down for a week while everybody went deer hunting, right? Like,
right.
I was the one that got to take care of the kennel, but it was like I could not believe that the state is going to give you an age for you to go hunt. And I'm like, that is like a family pastime.
And it's huge. Scared. It's the hugest in Wisconsin of ever. We got to go to break. Before we do, I want you to listen from 10 a.m. to 3 weekdays on your Civic Media stations. You'll have a chance to win a bicycle, a blender. That's right.
A blender.
Or even a trip to Chula Vista. So check out your Civic Media stations during the week from 10 to 3. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Man, I'm really sinking. And I really had a flash this time. I had no business leaving, and nobody would be grieving if I went on back to Tulsa Time. Living on Tulsa Time. Living on Tulsa Time. Gonna set my watch back to it, 'cause you know I've been through it. Living on Tulsa Time.
Drinking for the X, blame the 2-for-1 tequilas for whatever happens next, but it ain't my fault. No, it ain't my fault.
It ain't my fault. You're listening to the best, biggest, greatest outdoor show in the great state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
On your Civic Media stations all throughout the state. 13 stations at all. Does not matter where you are in Wisconsin. Listen to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish. Danielle.
I'm Danielle
sitting
Fairman.
Right next to me. And Anna V of Anna V Outdoors is on
hey
the
y'all.
Line. Of course, this show wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the very competent, very witty Anastasia, who's helping us out behind
the big old dog lover.
The dog lover. Shout out to her because she keeps it straight and makes us sound like we're not absolutely out of our minds.
This is true. My best. I do my best.
Well, you do a good job at it. Anna V from Anna V Outdoors. I love to say that I get to co-host, be the Midwest host of the Fowl Life for the Fowl Life podcast and for our hunts and to talk about I'm Raised in Wisco and our partnership with Travel Wisconsin. And somebody else who appears quite a bit in the shows and does quite a bit of, I don't know if Chad would say you're co-hosting with him, but I would. There's a lot of you in the shows. And man, that is so fun when you're here in Wisconsin and we're shooting shows for the Fowl Life. But I want to point out, Anna V, this, you are not new to Wisconsin. You are like a native daughter of Wisconsin with a southern accent. You have a steeped, rich history here.
I do love it there. And so, you know, we were talking about starting kids at 12 years old and having that as a law. And all I could think about is how many kids are already committed to sports by the time they're 12?
Right.
Oh, you know, everybody.
Or video games.
Outdoors. If we don't introduce them to our tradition, and it is like deep-rooted family tradition, not just like a pastime, right?
Absolutely.
And so it's like, man, if we're going to get them, we got to get them early. We can't wait until all of temptation and school pressures and all the things of being the cool kid there and tempting them to not spend their time. Like, Tater decided to play volleyball this spring. This ain't gonna happen again. I've already
like, well, what if she's really good at it? Come on.
Well,
now.
That's the thing. She's not. Like, she knows. She knows. Oh, like,
that sounds like love right there.
You, listen, Anna V is I love you like you're not honest. You never have to wonder where Anna V's coming from. That's all I gotta tell you.
No, her strengths are playing her guitar, and like, she has us playing all over the place, from Nashville to, like, she was just on stage with Drake White, and she's got a big gig coming
up.
Wait,
for
soon.
Drake White? Wait,
yeah,
who?
Yeah, she sang with him. Tater did.
No. I'm obsessed with Drake White.
Tater was and Violet, my daughter, and Tater and Ella were singing with Chase Rice when he was up here hunting with
us. Yeah.
But Drake White, Chase Rice is good, but Drake, that's my man.
Chase Rice is my boy now. Come on.
You want to fight about it?
No, I don't want to fight about it.
So
Danielle, I would not stand a chance fighting you. I just want to point that out. I work out like every other day, but I don't want to fight you with your number 9 steel toes. That's for sure.
Hey, yeah, I do wear number 9s.
Okay, well, look, it was just a guess.
Okay, but I have a question about raising kids, because I don't have a kid, right? And
well,
we're talking
about, she does have other skills, and she loves the dog stuff. And you, like, she's waited so long to get to the age to have independence. But what happened is, like, I'm speaking from experience about this 12-year-old rule. I mean, she's 10, and so at school, there was this coach that said she didn't have enough kids to build this volleyball team. I was gone on a trip. Next thing I know, she's like, oh, by the way, we're playing volleyball. And all it's become is a scheduled play date 3 nights a week, you know? And I'm like, whatever. I already told everybody. I was like, if I have to bribe her with another hunting dog,
I'm coming back to do this.
Like, we will be getting another lab puppy.
Aww.
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. I noticed you switched. You did switch over from short hairs to labs.
Why is that?
Wisconsin did that to me.
Because we love our labs.
I love labs too, but I sure love my 12-year-old short hair who's gun shy. Fancy Camo was even her name, and she's gun shy. It was supposed to be Camo Clayfish, but I lost that fight.
Obviously.
Yes. My daughters ended up naming her Fancy instead. You know, her AKC original name was Fräulein Fritzy.
Oh, wow.
Which I think would have actually been pretty cute.
Fritzy is one of the characters in Cabaret.
Yes.
There you go. Yes. That's what that was from.
You know, I'm not a fan of that show, though. I have to be honest. It's a little dark.
Oh, never a little?
Very dark.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how that show goes on in today's world, to be honest. I saw it.
What you do is you hire a dramaturg who comes in and talks to the cast like someone recently hired me to do in a couple of weeks. So I'm a little bit of a fan of the show. That's all I can say. But I get why others wouldn't be. It's dark.
It's a little dark, but I think you're probably the perfect person to do that, Anastasia.
The irony of that is that Fritz is actually a very famous short hair bloodline that you might not be aware of.
I'm not.
It all comes
and
back.
That was probably the reason her name was Fräulein Fritzy originally, but we decided to go with Fancy Camo. I wanted it to be Camouflage Clayfish, and I ended up with a dog named Fancy right like 10 days before that song You're So Fancy came out.
Oh
no.
Which was perfect. Like, I mean, that was like, you know, 12 years ago, 11 years ago, that song. You're so fancy. I just gotta know. Hey, we're
so
gonna
much
do,
yes.
I was just at the Whitetails of Wisconsin banquet this weekend in the Dells.
Nice transition.
In the Dells. No, I was gonna say I sang karaoke up there.
You did?
Well, I don't drink, so I don't even get liquid courage to do it. I have to just get up there. But
if there's karaoke, I'm leaving. I hate karaoke.
Really?
I hate karaoke.
I love it. You know what though? I'm kind of a show guy at
Don't
Heart
always
does
karaoke when we go to Minnesota.
That's I do a good job too, don't I?
Yeah, get that party started.
That was like the one thing Chad couldn't tease me about, I think, up there. I did it, and I think he was expecting it to be so bad, and afterward he's like, oh, okay, whatever. So I think he actually even liked it. So, but you guys tore the floor off of the dance floor that night. That was so fun.
Yeah, we're not singers, we're dancers.
Oh, it was so fun watching you. And when Chad and gets to come to town, or when we get to travel with him for the show, it is just absolutely amazing. And Danielle, you spent time with us last time.
I did.
Two times ago.
We ate a lot of food. I remember
We went to the Brewers game. We had great seats for the Brewers game. We got to meet with the folks over at Travel Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back after break, I want to talk to Anna V and Danielle specifically about the Women's Zone at the Wisconsin
yes.
Waterfowl Expo. We'll talk about that, the partnership with Travel Wisconsin, and how we're going to incorporate Raised in Wisco into that. And make sure you're listening to all your radio shows on the Civic Media station near you from 10 to 3 weekdays. Win a bike
or a blender.
Or a trip to Chula Vista, where you can use your blender and pretend you're in the Chula Vista. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco with Anna V and Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish. See you in a minute. Okay, it feels good. Raised in Wisco, Joel Clayfish, Danielle Fairman, and Anna V of Anna V Outdoors and the Fowl Life on the line with us today, live from Georgia. It's great to have you. I love
accents.
How
did I know you were going to say that?
Well, I studied linguistics in college, and what's unbelievably fun is figuring out that even one state has got different linguistics, different mm-hmm. Accents throughout the state, mainly because of where our ancestors who settled in certain pockets landed and how those accents have developed. And what's fascinating to me is, like, the Southern accent is actually a combination of so many different accents. I mean, there's a different Southern accent in Louisiana. There's a different Southern accent in Texas. There's a different Southern accent in the middle of Florida. Georgia's true home Southern accent is like the epitome of the American Southern accent. Don't you think, Anna V?
I don't know, but that's a compliment.
It should be. It should be. What's funny, though, is you go to Florida, and if you're on the coasts of Florida, they've got almost like an East Coast kind of accent mm-hmm. on the coast of Florida. But when I hang out in the middle of Florida with my redneck
and the
bros
Yeehaw
and sisters
Junction?
In Yeehaw Junction, that, now I'll tell you what, that we fixing to get out there and get some hogs killed. That is a Southern accent right there. Have you guys heard about this eclipse? You guys heard about the eclipse that's
no.
coming? It's been, I mean, Anya probably knows the number, but it's been decades since we've had an actual full and complete solar eclipse where the moon is like dead center over the sun.
Doesn't it last the longest too or something?
It lasts for a while. And there's this there's a trail that goes essentially from the base of Texas all the way up through it, skirts Wisconsin a little bit and kind of heads out over the East Coast. But this is like a huge deal if you are a conspiracy theorist or if you are looking at this in certain ways. I mean, at my daughter's school at Baylor, they actually
yeah.
shut down classes so people could celebrate the eclipse.
So this is on April 8th. April 8th.
Yes, April 8th is the solar eclipse.
Oh, man.
And there are conspiracy. Have you bought into any of the conspiracy theories, Anya?
I thought that everybody was closing school on April 4th.
Why would they close?
For what?
Why?
What's on April 4th?
I don't know, but there was something going around on Instagram that everybody was going to be out of school on April 4th.
I bet it's April 8th for the eclipse. Maybe.
Yes. Maybe so.
I was literally on the phone with my daughter. She called and she's like, "Dad, is something bad going to happen? Should we?" They're
Aww.
Telling us to stock up on toilet paper.
Don't
and
believe
stuff.
All this stuff.
I mean, you know what my example?
Starting it all.
That was my example. Y2K. When Y2K happened, I mean, I don't think you two were alive at what? Were you alive in 1999?
I was born in 88.
Okay.
I was born in 98.
Okay,
so I was around.
You were around.
I was around.
During Y2K, everybody was like, "Oh my gosh, all the computers
grade?
Are going to stop working. The clothes, the stores are going to shut down. Street lights won't work." And so I was a reporter at the time. So I was out on the street for Channel 12. I was at We Energies, and I'm standing there. I'm like reporting live, you know,
from the end of the world.
Reporting live
yeah,
from the end of
the
universe.
Yeah, everybody's waiting for the world to stop.
We're, yeah, right. And absolutely nothing. And nothing they're like, Joel, we're going to you. Hey, thanks. We're coming to me from the studio. Absolutely nothing happened. And I have a feeling that's kind of what this is going to be. I don't think it's going to. I think maybe there will be some areas of the United States that people will conglomerate because they want to see the full eclipse.
Well, I'll tell you what. I did see a full eclipse in 2017. I went down to Goreville, Illinois, which I always call Murderville because that's where my brain thinks, because I'm like Gore.
Gore.
That makes sense. Gory. It's
gory. Yeah. So we drove down. It was very easy to drive down, but you have to understand, getting out of an eclipse, you know, the line of totality, it can be very thin. It's thicker with this eclipse. We were part of, at that time, like the single largest human migration trying to get out of the line of totality after.
Okay.
So I will say one conspiracy to buy into is give yourself time.
Yeah.
And I had one not paranormal. I had a weird experience during the eclipse.
Oh.
Okay.
During the totality.
It might be did paranormal. Grow an
it was no. I wish it was something I could like show you right now. Like, look at it. I got six on this one. No. We're sitting there watching the eclipse and I look down and a two-headed snake goes by.
No.
That's
what?
It. That's the whole story. There's nothing really interesting
well,
to
if
it, but
two heads, it was paranormal.
Paranormal. It's got a paranormal head.
There's a paranormal snakes on one.
Oh, man. Oh,
there you go.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Dad joke central. Oh, boy. Let's bring it back around. I think we were off track there for just a second.
Oh,
which is
my
fun.
Gosh. Even for me.
That's the greatest thing ever about when Anna V is around. When you start getting off track, she will just sit there with this blank look on her face and just start laughing like you guys are out of your minds, and then bring the conversation back around. At any rate, I told my daughter, I said, go make sure you got enough food and water in the house and don't worry about it. You might get a few extra people in Waco. But they're actually celebrating the birthday of the two bears at Waco, Baylor Bears. They've actually got two brand new black bear cubs there.
Aww.
So they're going to be, I said, go to campus, be around friends,
yep,
enjoy it, because this is historical and it's pretty cool to be able to see a solar eclipse.
Yes.
One thing that is also going to be, make sure you have on your
really
calendar, really cool to see, and it's going to have a lot of people driving there to park, and you might have to go early, is the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo, which the Fowl Life is a mainline sponsor of this year. And Anna V and Chad Belding and Danielle Fairman and I will be there at the Fowl Life booth and the Women's Zone, which Ooh. Is the first time they're ever doing it.
It is.
And I know, Danielle,
so
you...
I know.
Danielle has been helping plan this from the beginning, and Anna V is going to be a part of the Women's Zone. Let's from both you guys, let's hear about it. What's it about?
So this Women's Zone, there's going to be a whole bunch of different areas for you to go to. Not only is there a duck calling clinic, because I know I need help with duck calling. There's going to be another ladies panel discussion. There's going to be gear for hunting, like so we can help you figure out what gear is specific for what you're trying to do. Because I'm sure, Anna, you would be good to have upland hunting gear out there. Like, that'd be perfect because this is mostly like for waterfowl. So it'd be perfect to have you out there. Shotgun handling and stock sizes and helping with the distance of where you need to shoot a bird. Because I know I struggle
That's
with that.
Hard.
It is. I struggled with that so hard. I was a sky buster like nobody's business.
I wouldn't say that on the radio, but.
Well, hey, it happens. Everybody learns. Everybody starts somewhere. And I'm like, oh, look, boom. Nope, didn't get that one. But that's how you learn. You learn like
well,
that.
Well, I think it helps, too, if you start at the clay course. Like, you will learn your comfort zones and where you're consistent if you're shooting clays.
Yep, this is very true. And we will also have a clay shooting there as well, because we'll be right next to where the range is. So we're right. So when you first walk in, we'll be to the far left, which is right by the range. We're gonna talk about ammo, what shot sizes to use, chokes, duck ID, decoy demonstration, where and how to hunt, like on
Holy
Onyx.
Cow.
Yeah, there's
that is
so
a
much
lot of stuff.
And duck processing, and what to eat, how to eat it, which hopefully you're gonna help us with, Joel.
Well. I've been destined to do that before. What are you working on at that, Anna V?
We're going to do demos about dog handling and shooting, like being efficient in the field, being able to manage your dog while being an efficient shooter.
Well, that's going to be perfect.
I think a lot of people get waterfowl dogs and upland dogs, and I think they underestimate the amount of time and work it takes to put into that dog for it to result in what you want it to result in the field, doesn't it, Anna?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you can get away with a looser dog in the upland world. I mean, you might make your buddies mad when your dog doesn't stay in range.
What do you mean looser?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be as well-trained. But if you get a dog that's sitting in a duck blind and that thing isn't steady, I mean, you're going to blow your whole hunt. You know, nobody's going to shoot with a dog running around in decoys. So having just understanding, like, what you're committing to and what the expectations are and what the timelines are, I think is just the biggest help to people.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And if you have I've seen it before. You know, people want to bring their dogs, and I'm never one to say don't bring a dog. But I have seen dogs on a field hunt very often, and I think it happens most on field hunts because when waterfowl's coming to a field, that is when they're most leery, most wary, right? They come to water. They're much more likely to land and commit. When they're coming to a field, they're much, you got all those eyes looking at you. And if that dog gets excited, starts whining, moves forward out of the blind and is moving its head right back and forth, that will bust that flock up at 70, 80 yards before they completely commit. Whereas a dog that's tucked with its head's down and not moving, you know, that looks like, I mean, yellow labs or black labs, they look like they're part of the landscape, and they're not going to bust that hunt wide open. I've seen it happen.
Well, we've never had a dog bust a hunt. We've had people moving around. People peeking around.
That is.
Need to rearrange the decoys for the 10th time.
Joel being loud. Joel cracking jokes.
No, I only crack jokes when there's not people coming. I am guilty of attempting to crack jokes. I do love, it's one of the joys of waterfowl hunting to me is when you get that time in between and you to cut up and laugh and just have some good, I mean, there were times we left the
really
field.
Really, what happened? We got so bored. We're in full waders and Chad has me doing push-ups.
Chad has you doing, did you say push-ups?
Yeah.
Why?
It wasn't even push-ups. Like, he was lying pressing. On the ground and he was like, bench pressing Anna. Bench pressing Anna in the middle of the field.
That's how dead it got.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Because y'all
didn't have
so
a winner.
Funny.
But we came. We were committed. And we're going to live this up. But then.
That's funny. We had such an amazing time.
I really want to know how that conversation got brought up. Like, it's not something you just normally talk about. Oh, I'm going to bench press you. Like, how
no,
did this
we
get?
Were out
I'm
there.
Still intrigued
no,
in this story.
Like, Chad was on like, the ground. Go ahead,
he was
Anna.
Like, hey, Anna, come over here and let me see if I can do this. It's like, okay.
So imagine a person trying to balance on top of Chad, like bench pressing him.
Gosh.
And once he started, he wouldn't stop. He bench pressed her like 40 times.
Yeah, with
crazy.
My waders on.
That's hilarious.
With her waders on. I think we might have some video of that somewhere. That was a riot. That was such an amazing trip. And, you know, we did kill our share of geese. We did kill our geese. But the most amazing things about that trip was making, you know, we made cheese curds. We got to interview Bill Davidson, great, great, great grandson of William G. Davidson at Harley Davidson.
Oh, that was awesome. Okay, if people don't know this, this blows my mind that Harleys were like created originally to go into the outdoors. It was a quiet vehicle to be in the outdoors. It was so cool. Nobody talks about that.
Nobody, very few people talk about the fact that they were used for outdoor recreation and the original William Davidson was a duck hunter.
And an artist.
And
remember
an artist.
Holy moly. He had the most amazing grouse and woodcock drawings.
It was
amazing. It was so cool.
William Davidson literally had this beautiful artwork that we got to see the originals of his pencil drawings of ducks and geese and woodcock. And it was like, man, It's just, there are moments in time where you just, the symbiosis, you just can't plan it. You know, mm-hmm. we're there with the Fowl Life interviewing his great-great-grandson, and we get to go into the archives and see this motorcycle icon. The Harley-Davidson's an icon.
That's awesome.
And we get to see his original pencil drawings. And, I mean, I got chills. I really did. What an incredible experience that was. Yeah.
When is that episode coming out? Did it come out?
No,
or?
It's coming out next season. It'll be this season, season 15 of The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel and My Outdoor TV. It'll be coming up. We'll talk about it more.
That sounds, and, yeah, I have to watch that.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. It was a really great time while they were here. And, God, the show goes so fast. We got one more segment left.
Ooh.
Make sure you listen to all the shows on Civic Media stations throughout the state, 10 a.m. to 3 weekdays, and you get a chance to win a bike, a blender, or a trip to Chula Vista. Let's get out of this break and come back so we can have more of Raised in Wisco.
I'm dust on the chrome, oh, I'm the heart that bleeds.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I am Danielle Fairman alongside Joel Clayfish, and we got Anna V from Outdoors on, oh my goodness, on the sound, what is it, StreamYard?
StreamYard.
SoundCloud, there it,
StreamYard.
I don't know, the thing.
Playground.
The thing with Wi-Fi.
She's up in the cloud. And
she's up in the cloud. But I got to be honest. It's an awesome, I mean, the sound quality is fantastic.
It is. This
it
is
really,
really great.
It sounds like, I really wish she was in the studio with us, but it sounds like she is.
Not gonna lie. I was really sad when you said she was not actually here.
I know, me too.
I was there.
I thought you were here. I was like, yes.
Because I told last week, we got Anna V coming from Anna V Outdoors, and she's like, awesome. She thought you were going to be here.
I did. I was really
it
sad.
It is so fun in the studio with y'all.
Thank
I
you.
I do miss it.
But before we end our show, I want to talk to you, Anna V, about your Woman of Wing Shooting. So you have a podcast.
Oh, our Women of Wing Shooting. We're gonna, yes. Like our program?
Yeah, well, I went all over your social medias, right? And then it brought me to your AnnaVOutdoors.com. And
yes.
I saw on here that you have all your podcasts on there. But what I'm actually interested in to hear about is March 28th, how you have your webinar.
So Women of Wing Shooting is a monthly webinar, weekly newsletter emails. And then we're also going to have what I call the Bandit Tour, since Bandit is so kindly helping us, sponsoring us, promoting us. It's a community where we can serve women where they are. So every month our webinar comes on and says, like, we have a topic. So there's education, there's mental management, just from being a female, wanting to conquer and live your best life.
Yeah.
And then we do a round table. So if there's anything that, you know, women have experienced that month, whether it was hunting season or on the clay field or a goal that they have for the next season, like, we can openly discuss that. So women are making friends all over the country. Our last one, we had women from Florida to California, even in Canada.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Really amazing. So that's our monthly webinar. And then we're putting together a couple of clinics for the summer. So we'll do a wing shooting clinic, and then we'll have a couple of hunts that we'll have their just ladies hunts for the season.
So the wing shooting clinic, what are you going to do with doing that? And where, how does everyone
so
else get involved?
One is going to be at Mossy Pond, down in South Georgia. And
maybe you should go there.
They're so well known.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
They're so well known for their dog training. Then we will definitely do some dog work and some dog handling and some intro into what a finished retriever looks like. And we're going to call that Cocktails and the Cattails.
That's awesome.
That's perfect.
And then the next day, like, it's 5-star accommodations. It is such a nice place, and it is Southern hospitality at its finest. The next day, we're going to do an intro into wing shooting. We're going to talk about the fundamentals. We're going to break them down. So if any time in the field that you, after this clinic, you're having an off day, you can go back into a system and figure out exactly what is going on, or where you're shorting yourself, and immediately fixing it right back on your A game.
That sounds perfect. Because when it comes to Bandit, I don't know much. I went on YouTube and I followed things. And I wish there was an actual, like a specific guideline that I needed to follow in order to get Bandit like this, because he breaks all the freaking time and it drives me insane. I keep trying to find things to help me understand what I'm doing wrong and how to fix it. Through your website, you have so much information that's telling people to email you to do this, to help you with this. Oh, you help them with this, like from the very, very beginning to continuous on throughout their life. Like this website, I have to have everybody go to it. It's AnnaVOutdoors.com. And there's so much on there that it's very informative.
Well, thank you. Yeah. We have so much more coming. This is actually a fairly new website, and I just wanted to get it launched with what we had. But there's so much information to put out there, because I would say that the number one thing that holds them back from jumping into the outdoors is just fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that I can't take away the fear of your first experience, but I can take away the fear of you not knowing what's coming.
Yep. And the fact that you keep highlighting blazing your own trail is kind of like, all right, that's us women. We have no idea what's going on, but we're going to go this way.
Well, from day one,
you guys are like bros learned. Now.
I know. I mean, I've learned and I've shared along my journey of a lot of firsts. I did a lot of public firsts. So I wanted women to say, okay, we watched her do it. We can do it too. And we can build our own story, our own tradition, and impact our own little bubble.
Yep.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I have to tell you, as even in the you know, 14 years that I've been a hunter, and I've had a really steep learning curve in that 14 years, because I've dug in and quit drinking and started hunting. And that has become my life. I mean, my kids and my family are my life, but hunting has become my joy, my passion. And there's such a steep learning curve to it. But if you have people who help take away the unknown of it, that is really key. I think you hit on something there that is very important for everybody, and that is giving people the tools they need to feel comfortable with the unknown. And I think also, and I don't want to be remiss here, it is absolutely a pleasure and an awesome experience to have men and women together hunting. And yes, I understand, and I'm fully supportive of women hunting efforts and efforts to get more women in, fastest growing group of new hunters. But the combination of being out there with men and women also enhances the experience for men and women. And it's just been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. We are all colliding in the best way possible. It's always so supported out there. It's like brothers and sisters, no matter who you are. If you just meet them for the first time, it's like a brother, like a sister. So it's perfect out there.
I always tell the ladies, I'm like, celebrate the times you get to hunt with your female friends, but don't sit on the sidelines just because you need to go with the boys.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I can honestly say, when I'm putting hunts together, it never enters my mind who I'm asking to hunt, if they're a man or a woman. That never enters my mind.
No.
And having just the nuances of men and women together out there just increases the fantasticness of the experience. There's no doubt about it. Anna V, we got to wrap up the show here pretty quick. Any last words before we get out?
Well, I will say thank you, Danielle, for highlighting the Women of Wing Shooting webinar coming up on the 22nd. You can go to AnnaVOutdoors.com and sign up for your link.
All right, everybody. We love having you listen to our show.
We
appreciate it so much. Thanks to Civic Media for putting us on throughout the great state. And keep listening on your Civic Media stations at 11 a.m. on Saturdays. We'll see you next week. I'll be in Portugal. Danielle's going to take the hot seat.
Boop, boop.
Have a great week, everybody. You're listening to Raised in Wisco.
I'm the heart that bleeds in an old country song.